Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the MetaMoon podcast. This week, I have something a little bit different for you. Rather than just interviewing one single guest, I have collected a series of stories from all of you about this year, 2020, the hardships that you have faced through the pandemic, through quarantine, what challenges all of that brought for you, how you have overcome them, what you have learned, how you have grown. I wanted to hear about all these things from you guys, and I thought it might be helpful for anybody listening to maybe hear some of your story in these stories, and it might help us all feel a little bit more connected and a little more seen during a really isolating, lonely time. So, let's begin.
My name is David Bates.
My name is Frieza.
Alexis here.
But then, like, it set in, like, oh, wait, I don't have any more money coming in.
He was supposed to return in May, and he still has not returned.
And I was sinking further and further and feeling heavier and heavier, and I would really berate myself.
Being very conscious of the storage of mind's creating and being aware of that is a huge step towards kind of awakening, I think.
I really feel like COVID-19 saved my life.
There have now been 40.6 million cases of COVID-19 and 1.12 million deaths. Here in Los Angeles, around 5,600 businesses have permanently closed their doors, and nearly 73,000 have closed in the U.S. overall. 14 million people became unemployed, with women and people of color disproportionately affected, and Hispanic women experiencing the steepest rise in unemployment. One in four young adult workers between the ages of 16 and 24 lost their jobs due to COVID-19. Reports of anxiety and depression skyrocketed from 8.2% to 41% of Americans.
My name is Frederick Tobias, not the fourth. So my story of the pandemic, wow. So right before the pandemic, I was chilling. I was really good. I had my film company was moving. My life, everything was moving. It was so much momentum. It was so many great things happening. Had so many jobs, just things, you know, ready to move. You know, at the same time, I was getting a lot of my music prepared. I was just super excited. And then COVID happened, bam. And at first, I was like, well, good. I get a couple months off, maybe like a couple weeks to a couple months off. I can just watch Netflix. Ozark came on, so that was good. So we were able to get through Ozark. And then, like, it set in, like, oh, wait, I don't have any more money coming in. I don't have any more money to come in. And so with the pandemic, I was like, how are we going to pay these bills? So it enabled me to start creating what I always tell people is you have to create your yes. You cannot wait for people to tell you yes or give you something. I could, and unemployment wasn't helping because I was a 1099 contractor and that the PUA funds didn't come in yet. So it was just crazy. It was extremely crazy. Luckily, I know God is real. I was able to, from that hardship, generate jobs, consistent jobs all summer for myself and my friends. At the same time, though, it was just very hard with COVID and over my overall mental health. I didn't realize there were so many things that I had to deal with for inside of me that I didn't know I still had to deal with. And there was just so many different things that I didn't realize I thought I dealt with years ago. I didn't. And I found myself at a depressive state, depressive mind. I felt a slave to finances. It just, everything was just intense, drama filled. Long story short, we had to get rid of our house. People couldn't afford to live there anymore. It was a creative home. And but in the midst of that, I was able to find a new place to stay and regroup and save up and pursue my career in music. So it's really crazy how all that transpired. And it's been a crazy ride. I don't look at it as a negative. I look at it as the opportunity. It gave me an opportunity to really understand who I really am and what I'm actually made of, and to elevate in this call to action. And yeah, just being a minority in the midst of all this, the COVID and Black Lives Matter and then the election and all this stuff, it just really just shows you, it shows you, it shows like who you are in these tough times. This is when we see where people are, and maybe that's my story.
I am a harpist and I'm currently studying at the Music University in Austria. I had final recitals that kept being postponed and were finally cancelled. It became more and more difficult to practice harp since the university had stricter and stricter rules about practicing every week, until I finally lent a harp to be able to practice at home. But I could in the end play my final recitals with barely any audience besides the jury. One very good thing that came out of this situation, though, was the fact that I started a new relationship. We had gone for a coffee only one time before the strong quarantine rules started, but we liked each other a lot and continued talking every day by Skype, even if we both quarantined in different countries. And after 3 months of talking and getting to know a person in such a different way with no physical contact, we finally met up again in Austria and are now dating ever since. It makes a possible quarantine much more bearable for me, and I hope for him as well. And we found strength and a safe space between us, even if the whole world was going through such a hard time. Thank you for your podcast, and I hope to hear other stories.
My name is David Bates. The biggest hardship that I faced was, one, wondering if I actually had COVID at the very beginning of the pandemic and quarantine. I just got back from London and I ended up having symptoms of COVID and had to check myself into the ER and get cotton swabbed. And I think one of the biggest things about the pandemic or quarantine is that people are having to learn how to be self-sufficient and be by themselves and love themselves more, and just learning how to maintain mental stability. So having to deal with the possibility of having COVID and then obviously quarantining had a pretty decent effect on my mental health. But one thing that I've learned and been able to utilize to overcome is, you know, meditation and mantras and staying on top of my fitness routines and maintaining the relationships that are healthy to me and getting rid of relationships that are no longer healthy to me or serve my best and highest self. But yeah, the quarantine has been challenging and I've definitely enjoyed it because I just love adversity. But I think I know that a lot of people are suffering from this, but thank you for the opportunity to share.
Despite being at high risk because of his age, 62-year-old Dr. Chuck Wright made the decision to come out of retirement to go back on the front lines in the medical field to fight COVID-19 and serve his community of San Mateo County. Many other doctors around the world have done the same, putting themselves at risk to protect those that they love and the communities that they live in. Many people working in the medical field stay in hotel rooms to avoid going home and exposing their families. They work long hours and continue to stay isolated.
Hi, so a hardship that I endured during the pandemic is that I am married and my husband deployed right in March, right before the pandemic, and it ended up extending his time away. He was supposed to return in May and he still has not returned. He's supposed to be coming back in November. And at first that was very hard for me, and I was very upset and let down. But through that, what happened was I was able to have alone time. I was able to be alone, away from my husband, which he's a great person, but I think that I had distracted myself so much in life with different things. And once the pandemic happened and I wasn't going to church, I wasn't, you know, spending time with my husband, I had to face my inner demons. I had to face my ego, and I ended up having a spiritual awakening that was completely beautiful. And I am now, you know, meditating daily and learning more about myself and my inner truth and healing my inner child. And it's just been a beautiful, beautiful thing.
Hello, Alexis here. So quarantine for me looked like a lot of different things. And at times it was working way too much. And at other times it was working not at all. And sometimes it felt beautiful and sometimes it felt awful. And a lot of things came up for me, particularly as I was coming back from Europe, as the Europe travel ban was announced, and came back to quarantine. And this is the one time in my life, in my adult memory life, that I can recall ever not having a single thing to do. I had no responsibility. And as someone who is a perfectionist and overachiever and a busybody and stays busy for the sake of saying it's productive but knows that it's not healthy, this was bizarre for me to have no work, no church leadership responsibilities, no social responsibilities, no ability to even see people in person socially. I did not know what to do with myself. I really wanted this time to be something I took advantage of. When else in my adult life will I have the chance to have nothing to do, nowhere to be? And so I had really high expectations. I had high hopes that I could really make something of this time. I could really actually rest and recharge. And I did all the things I knew to do. I let myself sleep, but I would wake up in the night not unable to sleep. And I started yoga, and yoga was so powerful and so beautiful for me, but it never felt like it was really, really sinking in, if that makes sense. And I gave time for meditation, and it was the same thing there. And I gave so much time for all these things I wanted to do. I cooked for myself. I made myself crafted coffee every morning. And while all these things I was doing, I had in my mind, were self-care, and they were good for me, and they should be benefiting me and my well-being. They just weren't. And it felt like no matter what I did, it didn't bring me joy, and I was sinking further and further and feeling heavier and heavier. And I would really berate myself, and I could not understand, like, what is wrong with you? You have nothing to do, nowhere to be. You're only getting to pour care into yourself, and you are absolutely miserable. And I won't diagnose here. I am studying to be a mental health professional, but my understanding of what I was going through for a period of about a month, maybe two, I would say I quite possibly was experiencing a depressive episode. And I had never understood depression really before. I thought I did, but I didn't. And it was powerful for me to see that in some ways and sometimes I can't willpower myself out of the state that I'm in. I can't just want to be better and make myself better. But there are things to consider. There's space to give to myself, to allow myself to be in all of these unprecedented times and things. And for someone who wraps up their value and their identity and their productivity, and who's letting go of their spirituality, not their spirituality, their faith, and letting go of all of these parts of my world I had constructed, and for that to be occurring during quarantine, and to then also lose the identity I was clinging to as what gave me value, which was my productivity. And wow, it was so good for me to walk away, although we're still really kind of in the midst of this, but to walk away from that time of doing nothing, knowing that I can't just willpower myself into being happier or better, and that there is so much room and safety to allow myself to just be in the space I'm in, even if that's not what I think it should look like. The letting go of that should look like, and allowing myself to just love myself regardless of the outcome, regardless of the next moment, but loving what is in this moment. I learned that through not being able to convince myself to be happy or find joy in the midst of quarantine.
When the pandemic first started in March, I was in my second year of my master's program. I'm studying marriage and family therapy, so the second year of the program heavily focuses on clinical work, where I do psychotherapy with my clients. The shutdown obviously forced both of the clinics that I was working for at the time to switch to providing all remote teletherapy options for our clientele. So as a student therapist, it was extremely stressful to learn a completely new platform for providing care when I was just now starting to feel comfortable for providing mental health care in person. I had to undergo many trainings, all while transforming my small one-bedroom apartment into a space that would be suitable for confidential, quiet therapy sessions. I felt this deep sense of resistance in my body, and at first I didn't want to do it at all. It was ultimately a choice up to the students. We weren't forced to do it. So I had many, many conversations with my supervisors about whether I was going to do it or not. But I ultimately chose to lean into the discomfort and lean into this new form of providing mental health care for my clients. It was definitely a process, but I was surprised at the way I was still able to show up for my clients and how they all seemed to still benefit from this new modality and continue to show up for themselves too. Although I miss witnessing my clients' journeys in person, I have grown to appreciate many of the opportunities that teletherapy provides, and I feel honored to be able to stick with my clients and adapt to provide ongoing support through this wild year.
In Savannah Park, Maryland, a mystery mom leaves bagged lunches outside a busy roundabout every single day with a sign that reads, "For anyone who needs it, I will be leaving some healthy sack lunches on this table for you if you're hungry and you need to eat. Made with love by a neighborhood mom in a clean and sanitized kitchen, I will leave this table up every day from 11 a.m. to 1:30 p.m.
My name's Fraser. I am over in Scotland. My own story has been real financial trouble with the loss of a business and getting myself into quite a bit of debt and so on. And it's difficult, you know, it's a real worry and it has been a concern. But I'm quite grateful. I think I've got some good stuff that I know and tools and knowledge, kind of on a spiritual level really mainly, and have had that over the past number of years. And I do actually counsel people, and I am an anxiety therapist and do talks and stuff. And I think one thing that really helps me facing that external life situation is choosing presence all the time. And I know it's easy to say that, but I think, and I do genuinely believe, by making presence the primary focus of your life. And when I say that, I mean waking up in the morning and instead of choosing to get on board with certain thoughts and getting swept along in the egoic path of worry and going down that road, and instead maybe looking inward and spending some time initially, even in the morning, doing 10-minute meditation, really feeling the inner, you know, the energy of your body, and just diverting attention away from the mind and the stories that that creates and the problems that that further creates for you. And I think by doing that, you know, and just by having that place to go to internally, I think is so powerful and transformational, especially this time for everybody. And if you can do that, then, you know, you can face whatever life, external life situation that you've got, and it gives you some level of peace. And I do believe that's very, very powerful. And it's a daily task, you know, it's a task for everybody to keep doing this stuff. But by doing that, being very conscious of the stories your mind's creating, and being aware of that is a huge step towards kind of awakening, I think. So yeah, that's been my kind of story. That piece, I believe, is on a God level, I'm a Christian, so I believe that's that kind of Christ within, or Holy Spirit, Buddhas, or Buddhists call it Buddha nature, Hindus call it Atman, but there is a real power in that place, that peace and place. So yeah, just wanted to share that with you, but keep doing all the good stuff you're doing. See ya, bye-bye.
A hardship I went through during the beginning, or throughout the current state of the pandemic, still going through, was reconnecting with an ex-girlfriend of 11 years ago, who I, you know, kind of really never got over. I think she was like my first love as a young, you know, 16, 17, 18 year old. We dated for like 2.5 years. She was my first real love. So fast forward to now, present time, 7 years later after we dated, we kind of rekindled since she moved back to LA from New York. And, you know, it was great. But then there were things that came up where I was just like, this isn't, like, there's this and there's that. And I kind of had to really start thinking about it and then make the decision that, like, this isn't, like, we can't keep going because I don't really see, like, a proper relationship stemming from this. So just going through that has been really hard and difficult, and being lonely again, or feeling lonely again, at least. You know, I still have friends and whatnot, but in the love life, feeling lonely. But something that one of my friends pointed out was how liberating that must feel for me, is that, like, instead of, like, always kind of dwelling and, like, being able to have to compare every relationship to, like, your first love and, like, your first real, you know, love or girlfriend, I kind of, in my adult life, got to revisit that relationship. That's been a struggle I was dealing with during the pandemic, revisiting old relationships and just kind of revisiting, like, serious love and, like, kind of, like, experiencing love during the pandemic, but, like, not really knowing what it was.
I honestly, like, I was so depressed when COVID started, from feeling like I'd lost everything that I'd worked for and was in this toxic relationship with a woman that I loved. I was like, you know, I'm going to break up with her and then we'll probably get back together. But then I moved out and the quarantine happened, and I literally, because she was living with their parents at the time, I literally couldn't go visit. So there was no getting back together at that time. I had to go through all this shit while locked down, and couldn't go get a massage, couldn't go on vacation. I was planning on, like, breaking up and leaving the country, going to Bali for a while, getting healed up, getting loved up, getting done right, you know, like. And then COVID hit and I was absolutely miserable. I was skating in Venice late at night, and then out of the blue, somebody came up with brass knuckles and punched me twice in the jaw, and ended up breaking my jaw, and got my mouth wired shut for 7 weeks. It pushed me into this place of hunger and into this place of humility and quietness where I had to face my demons. I heard that you have to get out of hell, you have to go down Lucifer's spine. And I don't know if he poops you out or how it happens, but I've heard that before. And I feel like COVID has put me through hell and back, and pushed me to become a better version of myself. I can see my highest self again, and I don't think it would have been possible without all the suffering. Just letting go of the pain that hurts. The force of being forced into a place where I realize my own powerlessness, and I realize I need to be in this place where I am ready to die, and that life is short, and now is the time. Just being pushed into this place that I felt like I could not get into without being, like, basically, you know, my ego had gotten so strong and so big and so toxic that being forced to just stop and look at life I really feel like COVID-19 saved my life. Well, not COVID-19, but the lockdowns and all the craziness of 2020.
When the schools closed in mid-March, we had very little notice, but we were somewhat prepared. My principal at the time had told us that she thought we would be shutting down. The parents were, you know, a little stressed out and unprepared for it, obviously. But a lot of kids really did well, and a lot of parents were very patient, and we adapted quite well. They just sent us all home, and we started using Google Classroom and learned how to use Zoom, obviously. But the kids were shocked and, you know, not very into it. They were afraid, and they didn't know how to turn in their assignments online because it wasn't something we were doing. Over the summer, our principal came up with some really good ideas that have helped us be more successful with our fall re-entry. And what we did is, or what he did, he came up with the idea of combining classes such as English and psychology and philosophy and social studies into a humanities class per grade level. I have learned to adapt, and I like teaching social studies and English together as a humanities. That's been fun for me too.
Nursing home and assisted living residents have been unable to have visitors. So many, like Brightview Senior Living Center in New Jersey, have gone the extra mile to throw parties and FaceTime gatherings to keep their morale high. A group of high school students in Santa Barbara started a program for delivering groceries to senior citizens in the community. Hundreds of thousands of handmade masks have been made for nurses and essential workers on the front lines. Business owners and CEOs have made sacrifices to protect their employees. For example, Texas Roadhouse CEO Kent Taylor, who gave his full 2020 salary and bonuses to pay his employees. The internet has been filled with free mental health resources, retreats, dance parties, and online gatherings to support those struggling to stay positive at home. Across the world, honks and cheers fill the streets in the evenings in support of medical professionals. The positive effect this pandemic has had on the environment is substantial. There has been the strongest reduction ever seen in nitrogen dioxide in the air in China and Italy. Greenhouse gases emissions are down across the world. The canals in Venice are clear. As human beings spend more time inside, the world outside is flourishing.
My quarantine story. Well, first of all, I see it as a huge, huge blessing in so many forms. I got fully supported by the government, and immediately with that money, I paid off my loans, any debt I had with credit cards, and I was able to start two businesses within it. I also see it as a big treasure because I got to spend the most juiciest, yummiest, and real times with my core tribe, because I live in a house where we live with six people, and it was really special to see and live through the pain, through things that just come up that we can't control, and handle it with so much love, because that's why we're here, because we all love each other, and that truly deepened our bond together. So I'm grateful for that, and I'm part of that systemic few who is now pregnant and having a quarantine baby. So that is so exciting, and I can't wait to see what happens, and in the name of love, and yeah, so blessed.
Thank you all so much for listening to this episode of the MetaMoon Podcast. If you're enjoying this podcast, please leave a rating and a review and subscribe. All of that really helps me out. And thank you so much to all of you who are brave and vulnerable enough to share your stories for this week's episode. I enjoyed listening to them so much, and it was such a blessing to get to share them here with everyone listening. Until next time, remember that you are safe, you are loved, and you have everything you need within you. Peace and blessings.